I want to talk a bit today, I've got a couple of props stashed here, about connection, about connecting. I want to draw on the Ascension story, which although we haven't heard in our readings this morning, Ascension was celebrated on Thursday, but it kind of runs through the theme of both of our passages that we've heard today. The Ascension, that event when Jesus, at the end of Luke's Gospel, we see Jesus speak to his disciples. First he says, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he said to them, the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses, he says. I'm sending you what my Father promised. So stay here till you've been clothed with power. Then he lifted his hands, blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he ascended to heaven. And the connection, well, first of all, I wanted to talk about thinking about connection and how we connect. And I'm particularly focused in because we've had some works going on in the Rectory Garden this last week. Very exciting. A man with a big diggery machine putting in a fibre cable that's going to bring broadband to the rectory, hopefully. It's going to be about 100 times quicker, they promised me. Is it working where you are, Don? Fantastic. My teenagers are even more excited than I am, if you can imagine that. So it was very exciting. We saw them in the field, first of all. It was just like, you know, they're coming. And then on Thursday, they brought this digger. It was like the ultimate remote control. They had a remote control thing. And then this huge digger machine that put the wire. Anyway, I won't go on. But I thought, and then I met someone this week who was telling me about, oh, I remember one of your predecessors, James Mayen. Some of you will remember him going back. And I think he was the first rector, vicar, to get a telephone into the rectory. And I thought, that, I must be, you know, the sense that I've got about this internet thing is probably how he felt when he got the phone. And I found that I couldn't find anything older than this. This is about 25 years old. It looks quite, I don't know whether you'd say that was modern or not. But this is the oldest phone I could find in our house, one that Carrie and I got when we were married. And I mean, it's not too far removed, apart from you can't move around with it. That's the big thing now, isn't it? You can go wherever you want now, phone people. This one was plugged into the wall, and so you could only go as far as, well, they made the lead was quite stretchy, but you couldn't wander around. So times have changed, haven't they? I guess when James Mayen first got his phone back in the, goodness knows when, the 60s probably, he would have had to do that ringing thing where you put your finger in. And I remember the phone that I grew up with. We had to put it in and go and then wait for it to. And then probably some of you remember. I can't remember this. Where you'd have to phone the operator first of all, and say, can you connect me through to, and you give them the exchange and then the number. It seems incredible that there were people sat in front of lots of dots and they had everybody there and they could connect up. You know, it was a laborious process anyway, connecting, wanting to speak to someone. Now, we just pull out the mobile phone, hold on in my pocket, we just pull out a mobile phone, don't we, tap it in, and we can speak to someone across the world. It's incredible. Incredible change in connection. And there's a point to all this. And that is that what we see in the Ascension story, and we see coming through Jesus' life, his message is that he becomes the connection to God. Before Jesus came, the connecting to God was a laborious process that we read about. That was partly because it was about a whole nation, a whole tribe wanting to connect to God. So there had to be some order. And the main focus when Israel, the people, God's family had settled in the land was the temple. The temple was the focus. So if you wanted to connect to God, you had to travel to the temple. You had to you couldn't bring your own animals to sacrifice because they might get damaged on the way. So you brought your money, you went in, and we see various snippets of this happening. You had to change your money because it was unclean money from outside the temple into temple money, first of all, and then you could buy your sacrificial whatever it was. If you were really rich, you could afford something like a lamb. If you weren't, as we read about Mary and Joseph, when they bring Jesus, they buy a pair of doves, don't they, because that's all they could afford. But that's acceptable. So you buy a sacrifice, then you give it to the priest who sacrifices it for you, And that was the way that you could connect with God in a particular way, to say thank you for a birth, or to say sorry for something. That was the place, the temple was the focus. It was the place where God connected with his people, where heaven and earth connected. And then after the ascension, after Jesus ascended to heaven, he becomes the focus for connection. And in the passage in Luke that I've just alluded to at the beginning, Jesus first of all connects himself to the Old Testament, to the Psalms, the prophets, and the law of Moses. He says that's all connected through me. And then he speaks about the Messiah, and it clearly says the Messiah had to suffer and then to rise from the dead. And this was a big problem for the disciples, for the Jews really. We kind of underestimate it, because we think, yeah, the Messiah, you know, that's what the Messiah had to do. But for them, the Messiah was this all-conquering hero that was going to come before them, sweep everything out of the way and clear the way for God's holy nation to take their place. And to talk about the Messiah being suffering and being on the cross was a really difficult problem they had to get over. And that's partly why Jesus had to help them to understand. He showed them that the passages in Isaiah and elsewhere that talk about the suffering servant, that talk about that needed to happen. That was what God's victory looked like. At first there was the suffering, and then the rising again. If that was a problem for them, what Jesus says to them next is an even more a problem. And he says that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. That would have made them stand back and say, hang on, Jesus, I'm not sure if you've got this quite right. We're the holy nation. We're God's holy nation. We're the nation that's been chosen specially. And Jesus says, no, that's, you're forgetting the whole promise to Abraham. Abraham's promise from God in Genesis 12 is that he will have many descendants, yes, and he'll have a land flowing with milk and honey, but also that he'll be a blessing to the nations. It's there right back in Genesis that he will be the blessing. And sometimes we can forget that as well, can't we, that we're blessed to be a blessing. So for the disciples, this was a difficult journey as they worked out what all this meant. That all who repent are forgiven in Jesus' name. And that's the good news they got to share with others. In the power of the Spirit, and Jesus calls them to wait. And we're in that time that we remember in the church, the waiting between Ascension and Pentecost next Sunday. That 10 days of waiting for this power on high to come. Jesus spoke about it in our gospel reading, to be filled with his love so they can go out and share that with others. And then we see Jesus lift his hands and he blesses them. He connects them with the blessing of God. And actually what the disciples do next, Luke reports at the end of his gospel, is that they return to the temple. There's Luke's storytelling and the way that he recounts all of this is amazing, because his gospel begins in the temple. It begins with Zechariah hearing that he's going to have this amazing baby. Obviously that's John the Baptist. But it begins in the temple and ends in the temple. That's where the disciples go with great joy, it says. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The temple was still a focal point for them, but now they knew that they connected to God through Jesus. That was the shift change for them. And Jesus fulfills that temple role. He comes to connect earth and heaven, to connect God and the people. He says it himself at the beginning of John's Gospel, he says, destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And they're not really sure what on earth he's talking about. But John explains it kindly for us and says the temple he was talking about was his own body. And the disciples understood after the resurrection that that was what was happening. Jesus is the new temple. He's the head of the body that is the church. We're part of that. And we come to the Father, so we can come to the Father through Jesus the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how that kind of works, although it's still a mystery, isn't it? And the way we come is by repenting of perhaps any way that we take that role as king in our lives or in others' lives, and we recognise him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we connect to God. And we can connect to God in different ways. I've spoken about this recently. We can connect to God through sacrifice, perhaps, through giving to others. That might be a way in which we sense that actually all we have is not ours, but it's all from God, and we can give it to others. We can connect to God through sung worship, just as we do here, singing hymns and songs. Even when I get the tune a little bit wrong, people sing, and hopefully there's a connection with God. For some people, that's really important. We can connect to God through silence. It was wonderful to open the church week last Saturday for a couple of hours and welcome people in to just sit in silence and connect with God. And a number of people did come and do that. And it was interesting, the cross-section of people who came. It really encouraged me that there's a hunger there for people to find a place of silence in their lives. It's not a very fashionable thing at the moment, is it, in our busy world? But finding just a few minutes silence is a time, a place of connection for some people. So sacrifice, singing, silence, they all seem to end up with beginning with S. I was walking down Church Walk this morning, I thought scenery is another one as well that helps people connect with God, doesn't it? And then when I saw the flowers here, I thought, yeah, they're amazing. The scenery. Scripture is another way of connecting with God. When we read his word, when we read literally his words to through the prophets, his words as that Jesus speaks, we can connect with him. I was watching it was part of the Bible course that some of you are doing, I know. And there was a line on that where someone said, whose life had been changed just through reading Scripture. And they said, when I read it, I feel like it's reading me. And there was that conviction that actually this is something that's part of who I am. And I thought, yeah, there's something about Scripture that connects people to God. We connect in different ways. And of course, when we come around the table later on and take bread and wine, the sacraments are a real connection with God. More, I think, than just a reminder of that meal that Jesus took. There's a reconnection with God as well. As we take bread and wine, something physical, and it reminds us of God's presence with us. And so as we reconnect with God, I think in turn we're called to reconnect others. Perhaps in a way we act as the operator. There are many people in the world who struggle to connect to God, but you can get a sense that they want to. There's I heard someone describe it as a God-shaped hole in people's lives, that they're not quite sure how to fill it. And perhaps we're the ones who can help them. We're that operator who say, yep, I can put you through. But maybe what we need then to do is to discern what is it that might help them connect with God. And it might be one of those things that I was listing. It might be looking at the scenery or making a sacrifice or finding a way of singing or listening to songs. Perhaps it's in the silence, and we can suggest that to someone. Maybe we could lead someone to a passage of Scripture. The Psalms are wonderful at describing different emotions towards God, but certainly the stories of Jesus as well I can recommend. Or maybe coming to church, coming to a service and sharing in the sacrament is a way of reconnecting. But whatever it is, we can connect up. And I think that's what this period of the church year, which is sort of becoming known as that Thy Kingdom Come, after the global prayer initiative that's going on around the world, we can be praying for others that they would reconnect somehow, that the Spirit would be preparing them to reconnect with God, and we can pray for that. And perhaps we need a reconnection. Maybe we need to find the best way that helps us to reconnect with God. And that's up to each one of us. We can offer what we can in the church here, but it's up to each one of us to find that way and all those different ways of connecting. So that's my prayer for us at the moment, really, as a church. And I suppose the other thing I need to say about this is we can get very caught up in our modern culture about individuals connecting with God. We've each got our own way to God than we do on our own. But actually, there's nothing more powerful than gathering together and doing that together, reconnecting with God as a community. And that's something we've lost perhaps in our individualist culture, that when we gather together on a Sunday or whenever it is in our small groups or however we might gather, that's where God meets us all together. And yeah, we might not enjoy all aspects of what we do together, but the key thing is we are together, and we can together as a community connecting with God. And it's great we've got this amazing building, isn't it, to meet in as well. Let's pray now. I think I've said it. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you sent Jesus to be that connection. That we don't need to travel to the temple and go through that laborious process to connect with you, Father. We can connect with you through the Son because of all that he did and by the power of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, we thank you for these gatherings when we gather together as a community, when we come before you, when we come together to reconnect with you. I pray for each one of us here that we would find that reconnection this morning, and that you would guide us into reconnecting others to you through whatever way it might be. Help us discern that and help us recognise that your Spirit is there already preparing the way. So Lord, we lift to you all those who are on our hearts and minds this morning, and we lift to you ourselves, our own faith journey, that you would help us to reconnect with you, with your great love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.